When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 17. Hello everyone, and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 17, Episode 8. Yes, only two more episodes before we finish Season 17, and then we look forward to Season 18... on Friday the 29th of November. And in case keeping up with dates is not your thing, simply subscribe to the show. It's surprising how many people don't do that, and yet they will listen every week. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to your shows, and it will automatically be there come that date. Now, today's experience has come in rather recently. But as you know, I do like to have the flexibility to move things around anytime during a season. But one thing I will say is it set us up perfectly for our remaining two episodes. Because the following two episodes are linked. And that's all I'll say. It's not a part one and part two, but they are linked. You see, you can imagine the number of emails and experiences that we get sent each week, let alone each season. And from those hundreds of emails, there's about maybe 12 where I've pushed to one side and I've asked for more information. Because the original email has been so intriguing, I'm hoping for that final piece to put it all together. And these final two episodes are a perfect example of that. What you will hear next week has been sat in my inbox for over 2 years. What you will hear for our finale arrived with much excitement midway through season 14. And then there's been some back and forth in order to make sure we've got the narrative and the timeline right. But believe me, you will not want to miss next week or the finale. But what do we have in store for episode 8? Well, today we're going to take a look at that old adage of what happens when you start to move around things in a house. As in, what happens when you start to construct in places where there was previously no occupancy, or you build an extension, for example. In the paranormal world, it's a long-standing belief that mixing up or disturbing any sort of building could conjure up some paranormal activity. And maybe that's exactly what we're dealing with here. But before we reach today's experience, we of course need to thank our wonderful team over on Patreon. It's Halloween and you deserve a treat, not a trick. So why not treat yourself to a Patreon subscription? Head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Because over on Patreon, we have built the best paranormal community of like-minded enthusiasts just like you. And aside from the community, you can also gain access to our weekly Patreon podcast, Dark Bites. Dark Bites is a paranormal podcast that releases each and every week of the year, even on the downtime in between seasons. And with over 70 hours worth of back catalogue for you to sit and binge that has only been heard by our Patreons, this time of year is the perfect time to sign up. That cup of coffee you treat yourself to each day? Well, for just over the price of one of those per month, you can gain access to the community and that entire back catalogue. And I know I say this each week, but it's only because it's the truth. We have built the best community of like-minded paranormal enthusiasts out there right now. And we'd love to extend an invitation to this exclusive membership just for you. Head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have. Maya Neeson, Paul Timoney, Tanny Offield, Margot Gray, Lizzie Massey, Mary Johnson, Jason Tidwell, Dakota, Heather Maryson, Ian Durham, Richard Willard, Sarah D. Ryland, Beth Gibson, Betty, Crystal Moss, Josh Mitchell, Connor Johnson, Yong-Yong Lee, Armani Rector, and Roland Ramirez. Thank you so much for supporting the show, guys. It means the world to me. And I hope you enjoy all the early ad-free releases on everything on this feed, including those debuts and finales, and of course those weekly Dark Bites episodes, along with the back catalogue. But right now, it's time. Please, lower those lights. Make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door. As we hear all about The Crawler Upstairs. I've been a fan of your podcasts for a while now, and I feel like it's time I shared my own and my parents' experience of their previous home, of which they lived in for around 20 years. My favourite ghost stories are hauntings of homes, particularly normal family homes, not mansions or castles, or the far-fetched stories of some of the more famous hauntings. I think this is because they feel so close to home, so relatable, after the experiences at Ashover Street. Anyway, let's begin. The house is located in a small town called Stretford, on the outskirts of Manchester city centre, most famous for Manchester United football ground. It's an industrial area, and the house is a small terrace in a row of about 40 terraced houses. They all, at one time, would have been factory workers' homes. The strange happenings all began back when I was a young teen, probably around 13 years old. My parents were divorced, and my dad had a new partner who had two daughters also. My stepsisters and I would spend the weekends at this house with my dad and my stepmom, Dee. As the house was only a two-bedroom terrace, our parents decided to get the loft converted in order to make an extra bedroom for myself and the elder of my two stepsisters. The younger sister could then keep the current bedroom. We were all so excited for the works to finish, and to have more space in the house in general. Soon enough, we would be decorating the loft room bright pink, with two wooden single beds either side of the sloping ceilings, and then have the excitement to add our personal belongings. One evening, soon after the loft conversion had been completed, when just myself and my younger sister were staying, our parents decided to go out for a few drinks, leaving me in charge to babysit my younger sister, who would have been around 6 years of age at the time. After they left, she stayed up with me for a while, and then I put her to bed. She fell asleep quickly, so I returned downstairs to continue watching the TV. Not too long later, I heard her get up and walk across the landing. I assumed she was going to use the bathroom, so I went to check, to see if she was okay or needed anything, only to find that she was still fast asleep in bed. I thought nothing of this and returned back downstairs again. No sooner had I sat down and started to relax, I heard her up and walking around again. Now, this being a traditional terraced house, it had a long hallway upstairs with creaky floorboards, so it was an unmistakable sound, those floorboards being walked on. This would be the beginning of what would then be many years of haunting activity in that house. I told my parents all about it when they came home, and we all had a big laugh about it, dismissing it as just the house settling. But actually, I was really freaked out. We joked that we must have a ghost in the house, and we decided to call it Herbert. The following months went by with nothing to report, really. But then, one evening, when my sister and I were in bed in our new loft room, my sister said she could hear banging beside the head of her bed. Now, I listened, but I couldn't hear a thing. But to prove I wasn't dismissing her, I suggested we lay completely still and silent, listening out for this banging noise. So we did. Suddenly the CD player started blaring music, and we jumped out of our skin to scramble across the room to turn it off. Our parents were shouting up to find out what all the commotion was about. But we were so worried we'd get in trouble for messing around, we told them all was fine, and we were in bed. A few weeks later, midweek, when us girls were not there, my dad came home from work to an empty house, as my stepmom was still at work. He went upstairs to the toilet, and whilst in the bathroom, which was located directly at the top of the stairs, with the front door directly at the bottom of the stairs, he heard the front door open. Thinking it was my stepmom coming home from work, he shouted to greet her, but received no reply. He finished up and came out of the bathroom, and when he looked downstairs, the front door was wide open. "Why she left the front door open behind her?" he thought. All of a sudden, the front door slammed shut. There was no one there to close it, so Dad defaulted to it being caused by the wind. But why was the front door open in the first place? He went through the house looking for my stepmom, but she was nowhere to be seen. Then, a few moments later, he heard her key in the front door, and in she came. "What are you doing home?" he asked her, perplexed. "What do you mean? I've just got home." "So you didn't just come in a few minutes ago and leave the front door open?" "Well, no. Like I say, I've just got home." So somehow the door had opened itself, which wasn't possible. Someone must have opened it, and then closed itself. They kept on experiencing small events like this, and soon even they realised it wasn't normal. Something strange was going on in the house. One evening they went to bed, and they were both in the stage of sleep where your body is completely relaxed, but you're semi-conscious, drifting off slowly. All of a sudden, at exactly the same time, they both sit bolt upright in bed, because they'd both felt the same thing. Something or someone had just jumped on their bed. It was unmistakable. There was even a dent on the end of their bed between both of their feet. Wherever, whatever it was, had landed. They described the feeling of it being like a cat jumping on the bed. But it was so sudden and heavy and aggressive that both of their subconscious reflexes had got them into the same state at the same time. Awareness and readiness. After a few moments of trying to get their breath back, they looked at each other and realised this problem was now getting worse. They thought the best thing to do was to carry on with their life, try to not to let it scare them too much, and just hope it goes away. Wrong idea. A few nights later, they're back in bed and again trying to drift off to sleep. Nothing happened for a few nights, so they were feeling quite relaxed, and certainly not on high alert like they had been in the night following the last incident. My dad, who sleeps closest to the door, then noticed the bedroom door creak open ever so slightly. He didn't mention to Dee that this had happened. He just rolled onto his back and tried to ignore it. No harm in a door opening, right? That certainly could have just been a breeze. But then, they both heard the most disturbing movement, which started at the bedroom door and moved all the way along the side of the bedroom towards the end of their bed. This was the sound of movement, but it wasn't like someone walking. It sounded like someone crawling. If they didn't know any better, they would have believed a rather large baby was crawling across their carpet. Dee grabbed onto my dad and held on. They'd never heard anything like this before. What thing, what creature, could possibly be making such a terrifying sound? They didn't have any pets. Us girls were not in the house. And they both heard it clear as day. And though they both didn't verbalize it, they both thought the same thing. This sound was something otherworldly. It was sinister. Literally a thing of nightmares. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns make it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, for your kids, and your retirement. If you're anything like me, you would have believed you need a degree or you need some expert knowledge and a load of money before you invest, but it's just not true. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with your spare change. Acorns recommend an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals. They then automatically invest your money for you. And now Acorns is putting their money into your future. Open an Acorns Later IRA and get up to a 3% match on new contributions. And that's extra money for your retirement. Acorns has allowed me to look back at my past at times when I've thought, investment isn't for people like me. And although now I'm a huge fan of Acorns, I just wish they existed 25 years ago when I first started earning money. Because by having the wrong perception that investment isn't for people like me, I've not given my money the chance to grow. But that's something, even at this point in life, I'm going to make right. So why don't you head over to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsements. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. When Halloween comes around, you know the busy holiday season is upon us, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for every last person on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that are so unique, you're basically buying a feeling with the gift. Would you like to give someone the gift of, they know me so well? The gift of, this is exactly what I want? Because if you do, then Uncommon Goods is for you. They scour the globe for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable items. I've personally ordered a beautiful looking hand-blown glass ball called a wishing ball. And the lucky person receiving that gift is the person that everyone finds difficult to buy for, but not at Uncommon Goods. And when you do shop at Uncommon Goods, not only do you support the artists and small independent businesses, but with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a non-profit partner of your choice. And they've already donated more than $3 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/darkparanormal. That's uncommongoods.com/darkparanormal for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
On multiple occasions, they would both be lying in bed and hear the sound of one of us girls climbing up the creaky wooden loft staircase. If you've ever had the pull-down ladders to a loft, then you'll know the sound I'm talking about. The only thing is, none of us girls were home at that time. They were alone. This was a regular occurrence at night when they were in bed. "Oh, there goes Herbert again," they would say to each other. It also became a common occurrence to be sat watching TV downstairs and hear walking about above them on the landing. Again, over time, they learned to live with this. No figure would ever be seen. It was always just the noises of movement that they would hear. My dad is a painter and decorator, and this takes him on projects all across the country. So he would often work away for a good few nights or maybe weeks at a time. Therefore, this would often leave Dee alone with Herbert in the house. During the day, she was at work, so she didn't have to be alone in the house. But when it got to evening time and she was home alone, she was thoroughly freaked out. One night, she'd taken herself to bed early and was laying propped up on one side reading her book. Slowly, she started feeling a weight on her side, pushing down onto her as if someone was leaning over to see what she was reading. Well, she completely froze. She didn't move an inch. The fright took over her body and wouldn't allow her to move. This wait lasted only a few seconds, but felt much, much longer. And then she felt it. Just as slowly as it all began, it gently lifted away from her. She didn't move all night. She lay there, still as a statue, unable to sleep after this bizarre experience, knowing that someone or something was in that room with her. She told my dad what had happened, and he'd had his own experience whilst working away that night. As a painter and decorator, he would often sleep in the empty buildings that he was working on, and this was the case that particular night. My dad and his colleague had finished up for the day on an empty shop that they were decorating ready for the new owners. They'd went out for dinner and headed back to the shop, set up their sleeping area upstairs in one of the offices. The shop itself was open plan downstairs, with a solid metal staircase which led up to a couple of office rooms. They'd gotten themselves comfortable in their sleeping bags, and all of a sudden, heard loud, extreme banging. Someone running full pelt up the metal staircase. Obviously, metal is very loud, therefore their first thought was someone had broken in and was running up to them. They froze, not uttering a single word to each other before the intruder would burst through the door of the office they were in. They waited and waited, but no one ever came. After a few moments of silence, my dad whispered, "Who was that?" His colleague didn't even reply. He was far too scared and, in truth, far too shocked to talk. He was afraid the intruder may still be lurking around. After a while, they both decided to get up and check the place out. But the entire premises were empty. Though stomping of boots against metal was a noise that no one could deny. And the fact they both heard it clear as day only solidified that something had indeed come up those very stairs. They never did get to the bottom of what had come up the stairs. And the following night, they both checked themselves into a bed and breakfast pub. They were far too scared to stay one more night. So, we need to ask the question. Was it Herbert following him? And if so, seeing as Dee was also experiencing things back at home, did that mean there was more than one spirit in that house? Well, years passed, and the activity continued. I managed to get myself a work experience placement at a very famous animation studio, not too far from Dad's. I was at university studying animation by this point, and as I didn't drive at the time, I had to go and stay at Dad and Dee's for 2 whole weeks so I had easier access to the studio. My dad and Dee just so happened to be abroad in Turkey around the same time, so I would be in the house all alone for those 2 weeks. Needless to say, I was petrified to be there alone. To the point I wouldn't even go upstairs alone, at all. The activity only ever seemed to happen upstairs. Well, aside from the front door opening and slamming, that one time early on. Since then, everything seemed to be contained upstairs. I spent those 2 weeks sleeping on the sofa with a bucket in case I needed the toilet. Which I know sounds extreme, but in all honesty, I've never been so scared in all of my life. It wasn't even so much about the activity that I'd personally experienced, and I'd been told about by Dad and by Dee, but more so the feeling inside the house. It was this heavy feeling, oppressive, like still, thick air. Always feeling like something was about to happen. It feels really hard to try and explain, but I'm sure those who've been in a similar situation know exactly what I mean. I could not wait to get out of there, to be done with my placement. Even though it was a dream placement to work at this incredible place. For anyone interested, the placement was the same studios that produced The Nightmare Before Christmas and The Corpse Bride, as well as Pingu, Bob the Builder, and many more. But as a slight side note, I don't actually work in animation now. I've moved more towards fashion. Anyway, nothing of note happened during those 2 weeks, but I knew I literally never wanted to stay there alone again. As for Dad and Dee, well, they lived there for many happy years, and I never understood how they could, given all the activity that constantly happened. I believe that towards the last few years, the activity has quietened down, which would feed into our thoughts of the activity all being due to the loft being created and the building work, etc., maybe disrupting something. They know the person that now lives in that house. And yes, they did warn him about what they'd experienced and witnessed whilst living there. But of course, the new tenant laughed them off. And he said he's sure he'll be fine. He was, and still is, renovating that property. And has now confirmed he has witnessed some strange goings on. He told my dad and Dee that he has heard the ghost. I would love to know who it could be haunting that house. They don't seem to hold a dark presence, but they do like to make themselves known. Just to give a bit more perspective on things, my dad is a 67-year-old tradesman, who to this day will still say, "I don't believe in ghosts, but I also know what I witnessed." And what I did witness, there is no denying that it wasn't normal. Well, a huge thank you to our submitter for today's experience. And the reason we've chose this for episode 8 is because it's very relevant to episodes 9 and 10. This entire theory that ghosts can appear or be called into play when renovations start taking place in a home. A great example of that is taken from the Ghost Hunting Theories website. It says, "When I was a child, we had a shadow ghost that walked the end of the hall into the tiny end bedroom, and then would seem to disappear into the closet. But that was not always a closet. It would appear homeowners in the early 1900s added the closet as a necessity in modern times. But it was built over a chimney, one that was providing a fireplace for the room. This figure was attending that fireplace, the fireplace that was now covered by boards and a closet. That is not to say that a spirit was hoping to start a fire, but that a regular event in the past, like someone attending the fire, was being replayed like a film in that space." They go on to theorise that maybe an event can be held in a loop, nothing really ending. It's just that our perceptions don't see all history in one place at one time. But under the right conditions, we may see those moments that never truly left. But residual hauntings don't count for what we're encountering in this experience, such as a slammed front door, such as feet marching upstairs, such as the dad being followed to a workplace seemingly hundreds of miles away. In this instance, we have actual physical manifestations. Things moving, the sounds of this crawler moving around the bedroom. So another theory posits that moving something in a house, i.e. renovating a home or changing a wall, etc., can release not just a residual spirit, but an energy, be it either good or bad. Think about an angry, aggressive dog. If you place that dog in a room, over a certain amount of time, it's going to become placid. It's literally impossible for it to stay aggressive all the time. If you then make a sudden change to that room, however, watch how quickly that aggression will return. Watch how quickly that formerly placid dog returns to its most defensive and secure space in its head, that of aggression and attack. But if the room was left alone, you would never know the dog was there. These are the sort of theories I want you all to be thinking about when we enter episodes 9 and 10 next week and the following week for our finale. Because believe me, they play an integral part. And not necessarily in the way you'll be thinking right now. Believe me, these are two episodes which are standalone episodes, but come together to create one hell of an experience. Don't forget, signing up to our Patreon will get you access to our finale earlier than everyone else, and also ad-free early access to everything on this feed, and also you can gain access to the entire back catalogue of Dark Bites and a new show every week. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But that wraps things up for episode 8 of season 17. And until next time, remember, When you're discussing the paranormal, always try to keep some of your disbelief at the front door. And I'll see you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue one last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly Stewart and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.